Hello, podcast listener. Did you know that you're a unique kind of person? Because, well, mostly to people that tune into this show, either watch it live or watch the video. There's a whole video section that goes along with the audio feed. If you're interested in doing that, head on over to techdudesgadget.net/live. Otherwise, I want to let you know really quick before the show starts about a quick coupon special that we have going on. If you enter in the code podcast to become an insider, you get a 1 month free trial, no credit card required. Head on over to technewsgadget.net/insiders and use the code podcast to take advantage of your 1 month free trial today. On with the show. Will Project xCloud be the next big thing? And more coming up on today's episode of The Latest in Tech News. Hello and welcome to the latest in tech news. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, and this is the world's only 3-in-1 daily show on everything tech, gadgets, and gaming news, brought to you by Tech News Gadget. And if you're new here, welcome. Feel free to chat with us during the live show. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and make sure you click that follow button so that we can let you know next time we go live. And if you're tuning in via the podcast, be sure to tap the subscribe button so that you don't miss out on the latest episode. Be sure to leave us a review as well. That helps us so much. But do keep in mind that the podcast is about a day behind, and you really should be joining us live over at mixer.com/technewsgadget. And if you're watching the rebroadcast of the show over at Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube, we're not monitoring the chat or it's currently disabled, but grab a snack and enjoy the show. Finally, we are on Discord, where you can send us your questions, rants, or suggestions, both during or after the show. Visit technewsgadget.net/discord today to get your free invite. Octavius told me there were strings attached with it. Now there aren't, apparently. He told me, why can't we just use Twitter? To which I said, what are you, nuts? Those of you wondering, Octavius is my pet octopus. He tends to agree with me most of the time, but complains about stuff the rest of the time. If he's happy, he's blue, and if he's not, he's purple. Don't judge, he's just an octopus. He doesn't know any better. And, are we so different? Yep. He says, yeah, you guys can't turn yourself inside out. Well, I can too. I can stand on my head and cry about it. Yeah, how about that? Never want to tell that. Yeah, like you're any better. You're the one who got stuffed in a cardboard box and Spider-Man was sitting there dancing on top of it, and then you decided to one-up him by becoming Batman. Spider-Man's my other action figure. This has been a drama that's been going on for like the past month, maybe, ever since that new Spider-Man game came out. It's just never ended. I don't know. I try to help him, but he just doesn't listen. Also, one thing I want to mention to you guys, we do have a weekly giveaway in which we're giving away some pretty epic prizes. And that, I will say, you can find out more information on by going to technewsgadget.net/giveaway. So if you want the full details on that, how to enter, entries able to enter and such, and the greatest chance of all of winning said giveaway, well, you can find that there. And I think we'll be picking the winner on Saturday sometime. I haven't figured out exactly yet. I'm trying to figure out a little bit of a timeline in terms of when to pick the giveaway. If I want to do it during the live show, if I want to do it after the live show, if I want to do it on the weekend. I don't know. We'll figure it out. If you have any thoughts, be sure to let me know. That'd be great. So, this is a tech news show. Obviously, we don't sit here and rant about, you know, my personal life, because my life is boring. It sucks. The past week, it was just disappeared from my brain. I don't even know what happened. I think I had a kid. So, I didn't. The wife did. I just passed out because I was awake too long and in the hospital too long and trying to adjust to parenthood. I can't tell you how many dad jokes I did in the last week alone. I almost got kicked down a flight of stairs because of it. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Who knows? We'll find out later. I guess that's the transition to becoming a dad. I don't know. I try to tell my kid, my baby daughter, she's not even a week old yet. I've been trying to, like, get the comedic sense going on, or comedic timing, or telling a joke to her. She doesn't seem to understand it just yet. She smiled and pooped. I think maybe we're making some progress. But anyways, I digress. This is a tech show. Stop it. We need to get back on track, guys. So, being that as it may with the tech news, before we can get into the tech news of today, we always have to take a look back on history just to find out, hey, what in the world happened in the past so that we can appreciate the news that we're getting today. Apparently one of my sites decided to not update today and tell me what the heck went on today. Almost like I have to do all this work myself. Anyways, my other site updated. Great, okay. So, as you can tell, technical difficulties will live. Today is October 9th, 2018. On this day in 1876, Alexander Graham Bell and Thomas Watson demonstrate the first two-way phone call over outdoor wires. Bell and Watson made their first call between the cities of Boston and Cambridge on this date. And that kind of furthered the progress of long-distance communications and telegram and phone calls and a phone wire and fiber optics and everything that we now use and take advantage of today. Oh man, could you guys imagine trying to send a telegram or Morse code message telegram thing? That taking forever. And then you have one guy running down the street saying, "Hey, who is this person?" Or you're not even home. Now, we got a cell phone. You send me a message. I get it. Isn't that great? Wow. All right. So, let's head on over to the news of today. Oh, no. Oh, there it is. Okay, I thought news of the weird. I figured something was going to happen about this. This is an article that's coming to us from Gizmodo today, and the title says, "Why People Are Putting Fitness Trackers on Toilet Paper in China." News of the weird. Let's just dig in, shall we? It all started with the mystery. Would a fitness tracker detect a beating heart on a roll of toilet paper? Huh. As Chinese tech site Abacus reports, toilet paper is having a bit of a viral moment in China after fitness trackers owners discovered that the Xiaomi Mi Band 3 would display a heart rate when attached to a roll. Users of the social media platform Weibo posted numerous images documenting their phenomenon and subsequent tests. They also tested other cylindrical objects such as bottles, cans, and even the appendage of a stuffed animal, all of which showed a mysterious phantom heart rate. Ah, man. But apparently it's not just these that did it. They did the same experiment using an Apple Watch Series 4 and an Android Wear smartwatch that yielded similar results, albeit with a lower heart rate. Did you know they have a video that goes along with this? You guys want to see the video? Of course you do. Why not? Let's watch the video. Okay, so we're looking at the toilet paper roll right now. Looking at a bunch of Chinese on the screen. If you're not watching the video right now and you're listening to the podcast, you're totally missing out right now. They're putting a fitness tracker on a roll of toilet paper. And, here we go. Oh, 81 beats per minute. On a mug, it beats 72 beats per minute. They even put it on a banana. Oh, 77 beats per minute. You think I'm making this up? I'm not. Look at it. Here they go. Apple Watch Series 4 got a heartbeat on a banana. And the Android Wear smartwatch. Interesting. So, here's how it actually works. To detect a heartbeat, these current smart wear fitness trackers beam a green light at a user's wrist. Blood absorbs green light, so when blood flows faster, it absorbs more green light. It's a scientific process that I can't say without murdering the word. It's a relatively simple way to detect how fast a user's heart is beating. Now, Apple, Android, and Xiaomi did not immediately respond to a Gizmodo request for comment on this matter. But they've been asking around, and apparently the only explanation they got was some internet informational site explaining that objects can reflect lights and confuse the tracking sensors. It doesn't mean that the fitness trackers are misreading human heart rates because they're designed to do that right. They're not designed to determine whether or not paper has a pulse. So, haha, joke's on you guys, but apparently you can run around now and have a little bit of a viral sensation saying, "Oh, look, my soda can has a heartbeat. That's great." So, you think I'm making this up? I'm not making this up. They got a YouTube video and everything that goes along with it. I don't know. There's your News of the Weird segment. Also, in the news today, Sony is confirming finally that it's working on the next PlayStation console. And it is necessary. With the 5-year anniversary of the PlayStation 4's debut approaching, Sony has confirmed it is developing its next successor, currently codenamed Erebus. At this point, what I can say is it's necessary to have next-gen hardware, according to Sony's president and CEO in a recent interview. Yoshida did not name the console, and there's no information yet on whether it will officially be called the PlayStation 5. There's also no word on a release window, although John Codera, CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment, that's the official name of the company's gaming division, if you didn't know, suggested in May that the next PlayStation is at least 3 years away. According to him, he said that we will use the next 3 years to prepare the next step, to crouch down so that we can jump higher in the future. I don't know if that's a reference to Crash Bandicoot or something else with springy legs, and maybe it'll be introducing Winnie the Pooh and Tigger. Maybe the next game console will be called Tigger. I don't know. Come on, guys. It's a joke. Anyways, Sony plans to employ that strategy through its 2020 fiscal year, which ends in the spring of 2021, so the PlayStation 5 may not come until after that point. Does it take reading tea leaves, which maybe some people are doing? Are you supposed to be eating them? To figure out that it would make sense for Sony to produce a new PlayStation. The PlayStation 4 is easily Sony's most successful hardware platform since the PlayStation 2, which remains the best-selling video game console of all time with over 155 million units sold. Sony has already sold more than 81.2 million PlayStation 4s worldwide, already surpassing the lifetime sales of the PlayStation 3. And currently it's doing really well right now for sales. Top-performing business segment, a couple really great exclusives that were just launched, talking about God of War, talking about Spider-Man. So we'll see what this has in store for the next PlayStation console. Will it have 4K? Will it be 8K? Will you be able to do VR on it and have peripherals and accessories to go along with it? Or will you just stick your head in the TV, swish it around, and go, oops, it's a toilet, I gave myself a swirly? We'll find out. joke's on you. Remains to be seen. Now, I know all of you guys have been clamoring for the latest, Project X Cloud. Will it be the next big thing? Well, Microsoft thinks it is, and got a video that goes along with it. Let's check it out, shall we?
Our cloud engineers are building a game streaming network to unlock console quality gaming on any device.
There's 2 billion gamers in the world. Some of them have a PC, some of them have a console, some of them have a smartphone, some of them have all three.
What if everybody in the world could play Halo? What if everybody in the world could play Red Dead Redemption? Everybody in the world could play the games. What would we have to do in order to make that possible?
In order to do that, we believe we need to build a game streaming service.
We see game streaming as a great technology, giving you access to the games that you want to play on the device that you want to play them on.
Being able to compute in the cloud and then stream to whatever device I am on allow me to play with anybody. That's powerful.
But when you think about any other form of media, the idea that it's locked to one device is just totally absent. I want to be the center of my world, and I want the devices around me and the services around me to be available wherever I want them to be.
What does it mean to completely change the paradigm of how we play?
The first thing people say is, you're crazy. You can't build a service like that.
What about latency? What about the level of detail? What about the richness of the game? Is my experience going to get degraded?
We are a gaming company with content and community, and we happen to also have a great, strong first-party cloud in Azure. It makes us uniquely positioned here.
Azure supports 54 regions in 140 countries, and we're going to build hardware to deploy into those data centers. We have our first rack of console hardware in the data center in Quincy today.
We've taken an existing Xbox console, we've broken it out into its component parts, and can actually build a single blade unit that can host multiple Xbox systems at one time. So we've actually built not just the blades themselves with the boards inside, but all the infrastructure associated with it.
We have evolved the platform. We're readying the data centers. We're readying the network. We have increased bandwidth.
We're introducing new ways to do video encoding and decoding. We are going to be pushing the edge of what's possible, even with 5G, which hasn't been deployed worldwide yet.
So how real is it?
first time I played Forza on my Android phone, it was just amazing.
You're playing your favorite game, and it's streaming.
You'll be able to play with an Xbox One controller connected via Bluetooth. And if you don't have a controller, you'll be able to play with our touch input controls.
I'm a huge console gamer, but now when I'm done with the console or my son walks into the room and he wants to play something else, I don't ever have to stop gaming because I'll be able to game the games that I love on every device that I own.
As we think about this next step for us, the idea of putting the gamer at the center is critical to how we goal ourselves in the gaming team and the Xbox team. We love the device that we build, our Xbox consoles. We want those to be world-class, the best place to play.
Consoles are still going to be a flagship experience. You know, you're going to have that immersive, high-fidelity experience with your amazing sound systems. It's all right there.
But we know not everybody on the planet's going to go buy a gaming console. It's actually about choice for you.
It's amazing for traditional console players because it gives them another place to play. But what's incredible is for the people who haven't been introduced to this type of gaming.
People who've never seen a franchise like Halo or never seen a franchise like Gears. It's pretty amazing.
We have it up and running today. And when we have it just right, we're going to scale it out in an epic way and deliver it to the world.
So there you have it, Project xCloud. Now, keep in mind that this is published by Microsoft, so I almost guarantee when they're talking about any device, they're most likely talking about the Xbox system they have, the Windows PC computers that they have, and any Microsoft smartphone devices that they sell, or tablets, or a combination of them. Over the years, we've definitely seen a lot of different things being tested. I know Microsoft Game Studio or whatever that was, that, on Windows 8, that horrible piece of garbage gaming service that they had on Microsoft PC Windows computers. It was atrocious. Apparently, I guess they used what they learned data-wise from that and finally rolled it over into something much more cohesive, something that works much better in the cloud, something that can scale out better, but obviously working on all the questions surrounding all of that. So, will it be the next big thing? I don't know. It's kind of interesting. You know, can I see my favorite Halo game? Would I want to play it on my phone? I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, I have a certain feel of it playing on the computer and playing it on the Xbox and the consoles. Do I want to play it on my phone? I don't know. But obviously with the way the technology is moving and with Fortnite itself, quite ironically at the center of all this gaming culture, a lot of it goes to the point where Epic Games is like, hey, guess what? Fortnite, that one game that we run, you can play it on your PC, you can play it on your Mac, you can play it on your PlayStation, you can play it on your Xbox, you can play it on any of your smartphones, Android, iOS, whatever. And guess what? It all syncs up in the cloud, connects all of you guys on all of your platforms together, and you can all go into a game, you can all have fun, you can all play the same exact experience, but have a different experience, whether it's a smaller screen or a big, large, three-monitor computer system gaming rig with all the best controls and inputs and speed. So, definitely promising, we'll see how it goes from there. A bit of a sad news story for you guys today. I know for those of you who love playing Minecraft, I talk about it all the time. It's my baby. Octavius knows that I talk about it all the time. I love Microsoft. The only thing that sucks, that Notch sold it to Microsoft. Little cheapskate by sitting on his fat little island getting fatter. Sorry, as you can tell, I love him so much. Hey, keeping it in there. But Minecraft for the Apple TV is being discontinued due to lack of players. Yes! Okay, but even though Minecraft has reached the end of its life on Apple TV, you will still be able to play it if you have purchased it currently. There is now a message that has popped up on the screen upon launch when you're playing it on the Apple TV that says, effective on Monday, September 24th. I don't know why they wait until now to tell everybody. The Apple TV version of Minecraft will no longer be updated or supported. We're grateful to the Apple TV community for their support, but we need to relocate resources to the platform that our players use the most. Don't worry, though, you can continue to play Minecraft on Apple TV. Keep building in your world, and your marketplace purchases, including Minecoins, will continue to be available. You just won't be able to do anything else out of that. And I almost guarantee you it's going to become to the point after a while where it'll just phase out of it, and nobody will be playing it soon. Yes! A little bit of bittersweet news if you guys are playing it on there, but happy news in that it's finally moving on to, you know, platforms that it's supposed to be hanging out on. Anyways, there it is, the screen. So yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of torn on this article. Not really. I'm pulling my leg. I don't know. Road riddance. Okay, I know Octavius. I'm trying to... Okay, thank you, Octavius, for getting me through that tough, difficult time. I'll move on to the next tech article of today. Microsoft is close to buying Obsidian. Ironically, I had it right next to the Minecraft article, but no, not the ore that you can find in Minecraft and Unobtainium, like you could find Avatar. But Microsoft is finalizing a deal to acquire the independent development studio Obsidian Entertainment, according to three people briefed on negotiations. Not sure quite yet if the ink is on the paper, and plenty of major player acquisition deals like this have fallen apart in the final hours, but those close to the companies believe that this is basically a done deal. One person with knowledge of the deal told Kotaku they heard it was 90% finished. Said a second person, it's not a matter of when, not if. Obsidian, best known for its work on critically acclaimed role-playing games like Knights of the Old Republic 2 and Fallout New Vegas, has been an independent studio since it was founded in 2003. The Irvine, California-based studio has long been beloved by RPG fans, but has often faced financial strains, nearly going out of business in 2012 before it signed a deal for an online tank game and launched a Kickstarter for the isometric throwback that would become Pillars of Eternity. So, in late 2017, Obsidian announced it was developing a new RPG that would be published by Private Division, a label of 2K games designed to fund mid-sized games. Companies did not say anything about which console the RPG will be available on, and it's not clear how the sale will affect the game. Microsoft to buy out the contract, and others for Microsoft to simply inherit it, allowing Obsidian to tie up its loose ends as part of the acquisition. While our policy is not to comment on rumors or speculations, we look forward to publishing the upcoming RPG from Obsidian Entertainment and remain confident in the team to deliver an outstanding game, said a representative for Private Division. Now, here's the actual reason why Obsidian is being acquired. This would be a huge move for the company behind Xbox, which has been on a shopping spree this year, snapping up four game studios, including Playground, Forza Horizon, and Ninja Theory, which produced Hellblade. Its most recent notable game studio purchase before that was Mojang, maker of Minecraft. Microsoft has kept Minecraft multi-platform, even enabling cross-play between Switch and Xbox One players, but console makers usually buy studios with the intent for those studios to make games for their consoles, not the competition. Microsoft's biggest weakness this generation has been its stable of first-party developers, and with Obsidian, the company now has an RPG-focused studio that can help it compete against PlayStation's strong lineup. And we'll actually see how it goes from there. So, yeah, maybe you'll be looking forward to some finally decent RPG studio games there on the Xbox. Probably exclusive titles, but remains to be seen. In a final news for today, before we get to our daily trailer release of, as seen on YouTube, Fortnite Battle Royale bundle is heading to stores this fall. Now, there's a lot of confusion regarding some of the stupid titles that it's pushed out and the way that it's explained. I'll dumb it down for you guys. TLDR, in case you don't know, Fortnite Battle Royale is getting a special physical release next month in retail stores, according to Epic Games, announced it earlier, with publishing partner Warner Bros. Entertainment help, a bundle of the game that includes V-Bucks, skins, and weapons will be available at retail stores. The $29.99 set is called the Fortnite Deep Freeze Bundle, named after the winter-themed content that comes with it. So, what are you getting in this bundle? There's a Frostbite outfit, as well as a glider, pickaxe, and backbling, each named after some cold weather-related pun. Also included is 1,000 V-Bucks, so that players can go buy more items or the Battle Pass. The Deep Freeze collection won't be exclusive to the retail edition of the game. However, it will also be available for digital purchase on the same day, November 13th. But for anyone who has yet to download the free-to-play online multiplayer phenomenon and wants a little head start, the Deep Freeze bundle could be the way to go. Check your latest store listings to see if and when they carry it, and put it in the pre-order or purchase it. Just a physical copy of it, so if you don't want to go, oh, I have to go through all these difficult steps of having to type all this stuff in online, hit the enter button, and then have to pull out my wallet and then pay the the money for it and then click the enter button because I might snap my finger in half, y'all can do this. You can go into your car, get on your bike or your skateboard, or you can walk on your two legs, and you can walk to the store, walk up to the game rack and buy the copy right there. Check out. You'll still have to pull out your wallet or cash, however you want to do it. I mean, you can actually use cash, so that's probably a good thing. What do they call it? You know, when you're young and parents have you do something, allowance money. You can do that. You can use your allowance money, and you can go walk to the store, and you can purchase it that way. And then you don't have to go tell mom and dad, yo mom, yo dad, can y'all crack out your credit card? I don't know, sorry. I'm on a rant, can you tell? And then you can go purchase it at the store, bring it home, and you can punch the code in, and you'll be able to redeem, and your parents will be like, look at little Timmy. Oh, he's finally putting some good work in, and he's getting that money, and he doesn't have to ask us to use a credit card all the time, and then we have to rip it out of his allowance and deduct him for it, and then say, oh, well, sorry, Timmy, you can't get, you know, your allowance money this year because you blew it on Fortnite. So there you go. I think that's probably the reason there, but smart move. Yeah, are you guys looking forward to the Deep Freeze bundle? Be sure to let me know in the chat or on our Discord server. The Deep Freeze collection will be coming out on November 13th. Now, this is for people in the United States. I'm not sure how this will work out worldwide or in Europe. They might have details on that coming soon, but we shall see. Ooh, look, pictures! Oh man, you basically look like a camo dude in like light blue and white. And maybe some splotchy grayish, greenish-ish stuff. Buying 1,000 V-Bucks. So, that's cool. Pretty cool. Okay, I got it. I gotta get on to the last segment before I actually lose it. Alright, for those of you wondering, usually we wrap up this show with a trailer announcing the latest game or game that's coming out soon or sometime in the upcoming future. This one is for Left Alive State of the World trailer. Let's take a look, shall we?
The dawn of the 21st century saw the world's powers shift away from the traditional state structure in favor of economic blocs. Full-blown wars became things of the past, though proxy wars stubbornly persisted. Such conflicts gave rise to Wanzers.
Those are Jaegers, don't rip them off.
Capable of fighting across all types of terrain. The very advent of these revolutionary machines, however,
Pacific Rim much?
Spawned
okay, I'm
new
stop.
Disputes. For all its efforts to forge a better world, humanity had learned nothing.
No duh. Why would they? Sorry.
December 2127. The Republic of Garmonia, located near the Black Sea, abruptly declared war on its neighbor, the Republic of Ruthenia, when it invaded the border city wedged between the two countries, Novoslavia. The sudden attack overwhelmed the Ruthenia Army Defense Forces, and it seemed the battle was over in the blink of an eye. And yet, for those bloody but unbowed survivors caught in the ensuing chaos, the fight was only just beginning.
All right, and there you have it. Left Alive, State of the World trailer coming out March of next year. So, that will do it for this show. If we missed something on the show, or there's something that you want us to keep you informed on, be sure to let us know either in the live chat or on our Discord server. Don't forget to redeem your code, your coupon code, over at technewsgadget.net/insiders. That will do it for this episode of The Latest in Tech News. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. That's Octavius over there for Latest in Tech Gadgets. And gaming news, head on over to technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.